College football nerds, we're talking Arkansas and Georgia. I think game day is going there. It's a huge game that if you looked at in July on the schedule, you probably weren't circling that as a big ranked SEC matchup, but it is. It's huge, and we're talking about it. I want to remind everybody in the comments, you got one bit of homework. Let us know what you think the score is going to be, and we will tell you how wrong you are or will be. Arkansas fans are going to tell us how wrong that we are, although Josh did pick Arkansas to beat A&M. I originally picked them when we recorded it, and then we had some technical issues, had to record it a second time. I flipped to A&M, but out of respect to Arkansas, I did cover in that game. I want to remind everybody, because they're all going to get at us, and that we do a live show on Saturday nights. I had to carry it myself this Saturday. I didn't have Josh, so it wasn't the same back and forth that you normally get. So if you see that in the replay and you listen to it, it was just me. But this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's going to be both of us. And so you can look forward to that. All right, Josh, there's a lot to talk about in this game. But one of the things I want to talk about from the jump is a lot of people are discounting Georgia's win over Clemson because of Clemson's struggles since the Georgia game. And they want to say that Georgia ain't played nobody, Paul, and that, you know, how do we know that Georgia's any good? Is it fair to still give Georgia a lot of credit for that win, if for no other reason but the fact that Clemson still has an elite unit on one side of the ball, and that's on defense?
Well, that's fair. And when you start doing projections and picks, one of the more difficult things to impress upon people is the difference between what is something you can look at in terms of how, why you won that game, and what is something you can look at in terms of why you'll win a future game. One example, and I'm not sure if we will or won't do a video, is it's easy to look at Kentucky's score against South Carolina and say, ah, well, Kentucky sucks. You know, they could barely put away a South Carolina team that's not that good. But the context there maybe is a little different, right? They turn the ball over three times. South Carolina has Harris back. They get Doty back at quarterback. That was a game that Kentucky kind of screwed up a little bit against a South Carolina team that's probably a little better than they have been. And so, yeah, there's a reason why the score was where it was. There's a fair argument to be made about why Kentucky should have or could have lost that game, and it would have been totally reasonable. But you have to take a step back if you want to talk about Kentucky versus Florida. Here, you kind of have the opposite, right? Clemson isn't a great team right now. They're just not. They have a lot of flaws in the offensive side of the ball that make them really a danger to lose any game. And we've talked about that on our live show. That if you're struggling to put up 20 points in a game, you can lose to anybody. But the thing I think people miss is twofold. One, if you can keep other teams below 20 points, you can beat anybody. Teams with elite defenses are always tough outs because, you know, one kick return, one play, one fumble will lose you the game. And Clemson's defense has shown that they are very much what they were billed to be. They're also were a little healthier, I'll say, against Georgia than they have been the past couple weeks on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think North Carolina State beats them if they have Mr. Skowski back there for the entire game. And Georgia, in terms of their defense, and saying that Georgia's defense is unproven, they gave up 2 rushing yards to Clemson. You know, not 30, not 40, not 20, 2. And every game since then, Clemson has had over 100 yards rushing. And yeah, you know, Clemson's offense has struggled, and being about 4, 4.5 yards per play against Georgia Tech and North Carolina State, they had 3 yards per play against Georgia. They had under 200 total yards. It wasn't just that they struggled against Georgia. It's that Georgia shut them down completely and utterly. And the other thing is you just have to look at context for the other games in the season, right? I mean, Georgia, you know, UAB, who's a pretty good team, held them to 174 yards. Last week against Vanderbilt, 77 yards. And look, I know Vanderbilt's terrible. And believe me, I've been on that soapbox for a while that they've been headed to the gutter in a way that is really historic even for that program. But holding anyone under 100 yards, FCS team, anybody, is really stinking hard, guys. So, I don't really buy the argument that the Clemson win is meaningless. I think there's an argument to be made that maybe it's an indicator of how the offense might struggle against a top-end elite team. Maybe the defensive outing doesn't mean that they're the best defense in the world ever, but it certainly should still mean that the defense is elite. It should mean that that's a team that has the pieces to compete with a big, big dog. And, you know, I'm not sure, honestly, if they'll even face another defense as good as Clemson's. So, yes, that's maybe a shot against Alabama's, maybe not. We don't know. So I definitely think Georgia's still a good football team.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because Vegas, and we're going to talk about the model maybe a little earlier than normal, and we're going to talk, we don't often talk that much about spreads, but we're going to talk about it here. Vegas came out, Georgia's laying 18.5, which is a big number. It's a huge number. They've got Alabama laying, I think it opened at 16, bought down to 14.5, something like that, against Ole Miss. And I think Vegas is telling us that whether Georgia's played nobody, Paul, or not, Georgia and Alabama are in a different tier than everybody else. Arkansas, on the flip side, though, is going to say that they're more tested than even Georgia and proven. So where there's question marks, there's still question marks about, I would say, Georgia, at least, you know, Georgia and Ole Miss are two teams that really haven't, at this point, played a really good team yet. And there could be potentially questions. Now, I think, and you think, it may mean that Ole Miss might not be as good, but probably Georgia is good, even though they have the same problem. Arkansas is going to say, look, we've played some teams already. We've proven ourselves already. And we picked, you picked Arkansas to win against A&M. You picked them to cover against Texas. And so we've got some respect for that team. I'm not even going to mention your lack of respect for Burks. I'm sure they'll let us know in the comments. That's just really an inside joke from our video last week. But Josh, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think the Texas win, seeing how Texas is playing now, the Texas win is their the feather in their cap this year, not even the A&M win at this point. What do you think?
Well, it definitely is, right? The reality is that A&M right now is a program that is in a bad place. The A&M offensive line is not good. And we talked about how we've had A&M in our top 10 and they were in and out and sort of falling back and forth as Calzada got more comfortable. But the reason I picked Arkansas in that game was that when I went back and I watched film on what A&M was doing and what they were struggling with, they could not play a team that dropped eight. Like their quarterback play is a really, really bad weakness right now. And given the fact that the offensive line's also not playing well, so they can't run the ball the way they want to, A&M's not a great team. They've got a good defensive line. They're rebuilding a little bit at linebacker. Frankly, I've always felt the secondary the past few years has been overrated. That's neither here nor there. Because they get kind of exposed when the defensive line doesn't cover them up. But the I think Texas might actually be a better team right now than A&M. And I don't know if A&M fans watch this are probably going to throw the monitor out the window, but that's sort of the reality of it. I know they've played Rice and Texas Tech since then, but Texas may be a more complete team, and especially harder to judge because Thompson versus Card and who they got quarterback. But Texas is probably the feather in the cap. I'm going to bounce this back to you, though, and this is a much harder question. What is the better win, Texas or Texas/Texas A&M on one side or Clemson on the other? Is beating Texas or Texas A&M better than having beaten Clemson now that we know what we know about Clemson?
I'm going to take the cheap way out, Josh, and I'm going to say that Texas/A&M is better because maybe not in name or pedigree or the fact that they beat an elite unit on one side of the ball, although I think Texas A&M's defense is better than maybe you're giving them credit for. The way they beat them means that it's more impressive or more – and that's not to say that Georgia couldn't do the same thing. Georgia is at the disadvantage of having not played those teams yet or at all to say that they could do the same thing. I would say it's more impressive because – I hope this doesn't demonetize us, but Arkansas beat that ass, especially against Texas. Like it was a beatdown. And that's where like I don't want and we are very analytical and we are very it comes off critical sometimes and people say, well, you didn't give us credit for what we did. You pointed out all the flaws of the other team. I want to give Arkansas credit for what they did against A&M, not just say A&M sucks, because they don't. I think A&M is a very flawed offensive football team that has a good defensive side of the ball, not as good as Clemson, but they've got better skill players right now than Clemson does, in my opinion. Anaya Smith, Aching, Spiller, those are better skill players, in my opinion, than what Clemson has, although I think Clemson's better at quarterback. So in terms of this game, let's talk about the matchups in this game. Arkansas is getting 18.5 points from Vegas in this game. And in my opinion, and I know you agree because we've already talked about it and I know how you think, in my opinion, those 18.5 points aren't saying that of all the teams in across the landscape of college football, there's this big a gap between Georgia and Arkansas in general. It's specific to this game in that it's really just a where Texas was a great matchup for Arkansas, this is a really bad matchup for Arkansas.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. One of the things I talked about a lot was that when Arkansas played Texas, and again, I picked Arkansas to, I think, cover, but not win that game, that was the nightmare matchup for Texas because of what they wanted to do, the fact that they had big jumbo players that were high-quality guys like Bijan Robinson that really weren't speed athlete types. They were going to struggle against an Arkansas team that has, you know, like the returning NCAA tackle leader, really, really good sound tackling defense that keeps their eyes forward, and they've got a really good, you know, edge rusher in Trey Williams going against new quarterback, blah, 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 blah. All those problems that Texas had with Arkansas, take those, and now look at Arkansas versus Georgia, and you got the same issues. Because Arkansas is a good sound tackling physical football team. Georgia takes that and ratchets it up to another level with five stars. And that Davis dude in the middle from Georgia is a bad man. And that Georgia defense has the ability to flow sideline to sideline with physicality that a way that really no one else has. Everyone in the secondary is a highly ranked recruit. They all have size. They all have physicality. They all have speed. And Arkansas's sort of bread and butter right now running that Browse Tree offense is, we're going to try to run the ball, we're going to try to strain you, and then we're going to try to pop off a couple explosives. That only works if, one, if you're running the ball well enough to strain the defense. It's a similar deal to Kiffin has, and they've realized there's some cross-pollination there with their offensive schemes. When that bread and butter play breaks down, if you can't run the ball successfully, if you can't complete the routine play, you're not going to be able to move your offense. And I think if Arkansas is going to really struggle to move the ball at all against Georgia, because Georgia is so good against the run. Arkansas and their physicality is going to give fits to a lot of teams in this conference. And right now, if I were Alabama, I'd be really worried about Arkansas because I think Arkansas can do a lot of what Florida did in some ways better. But Georgia is not that team. Georgia is not the team you run on. Georgia is the team where, you know, like last year's Alabama, you've got to be really dynamic offensively to be able to score on them. It's much more of an old school defense, and that's a just really horrific matchup for Arkansas's offense. And I think that's, I will say, very much exacerbated by the fact that KJ Jefferson had that injury, and once he hurt his leg against A&M, that offense did kind of shut down. And I think it's because, and I know I'm going off on a little bit of a monologue aside, but I'm prone to do that. Arkansas's offense strains everyone with all the things they want to do, right? They run the ball, they throw the ball over the top, but it's a little more complicated than that. A big component is that they use Jefferson as a willing runner. And that essentially means a linebacker or someone has to account for Jefferson on every play, and that be it pass or run, right? You have one less guy to deal with whatever Arkansas is trying to do. And they get the edge on a lot of run plays because the linebackers are having to respect the quarterback, which means the linebacker can't get around edge, can't fill a gap, because he's trying to make sure the quarterback doesn't keep it and score himself. That component being missing, whether or not Jefferson plays, if he's not healthy enough to run as a willing runner, Georgia no longer has to respect that. And I do think the current spread probably has about an extra, I would actually think, 4 to 8 points due to the fact that Jefferson may not be a capable runner in this game. I think it is that much of a factor in helping push things even further towards Arkansas maybe having some offensive struggles.
I give you a little pushback there. and Arkansas fans aren't going to love this, but I think it's an opportunity to talk about how Georgia can really strain this Arkansas team. You know, it's a credit to Georgia as much as it is a concern for Arkansas. Arkansas jumped all over A&M. 17-0. Arkansas had then six straight possessions where they didn't put in up any points. I'm looking at it now. I think that's right. Six possessions before Jefferson got hurt, not counting the shortened one at the end of the half. And I think only one of those had a first down in it. Like their offense completely shut down after what was probably some adjustments that were made. And those two touchdowns came on an 85-yard pass and then like a 40-something-yard swing pass that went for a touchdown. You take, and I'm not taking those two plays away in terms of getting the win, but I am taking some concern that outside of those two plays, there were 6 points put on the board the rest of the game. And so, and a lot of that was with Jefferson in. There was 2 minutes and 38 seconds left in the third quarter when he got hurt, and then he came back in the fourth quarter. He said he's okay, I think, in the post-game press conference. I agree with you. I think there's so much of that offense that requires him to run. But like we said with Florida and how they wouldn't match up great against Georgia, I think this is the same thing. Even if Jefferson can run, where I think a Matt Corral-type running quarterback would give Georgia a lot of strain or could give them some strain, I think this style running quarterback and this style of offense is a bad matchup for them. One more thing before we get into the model. Do you think – so Arkansas fans are going to come back and say, well, look, we've shut down offenses all year long. We saw what JT Daniels did against Clemson, and he was not putting points on the board either. He had an entire game without an injury and couldn't put a touchdown on the board at all. Is there a possibility that Arkansas and their fans are going to be right in saying that they're going to be able to do the same thing to him that Clemson did?
Yeah, and by the way, this is the point where we said we get in the model early and then we failed because we can't stop talking. I mean, there's a definite argument for that, right? The argument is, well, you know, we shut down Texas. We shut down Texas A&M. You've already sort of admitted, you know, various similarities between teams like Texas and how Georgia plays with a lot of big players. But there's a lot of differences, too. Georgia has a lot more speed than Texas has, and they have a much better offensive line and run game than A&M has. They're just a more complete team. And I think with Odom, if you don't do everything kind of well, you're in trouble. Because if you have a good defensive coordinator, he can usually take away one thing. And they haven't played a team that can do any one thing well. So I think there's an argument from Arkansas fans to say, look, we can shut down Georgia because Georgia's been shut down before. And I think it may very well happen. But I think the reality is more akin to what happened in last year's Georgia game where, you know, they lose 37-10 and they only gave up, it was really kind of crazy, right? 121 yards rushing on 42 attempts in that game, but they still lose by 27 points. And it's really because once Georgia got up, Arkansas had no counter and eventually wore down. Can we go ahead and start getting into the model? Because I think at this point we should start moving into picks and predictions.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into the model.
So the model has Arkansas 27, Georgia 19 off the bat. And the interesting thing to me is how similar the two teams are statistically. Some of the intermediate statistics, Arkansas allows teams to have about 75% of their rushing averages, and allows their opponents to get about 70% of their passing averages. Georgia's about the same, 71%, 72%. The difference between those two teams really comes down to the quality of the opponent and the just pure stats they generate, because Georgia allows 2.3 yards per carry, Arkansas allows 3.6. But Arkansas's opponents are almost exactly that much better than Georgia's opponents. So the improved statistics Georgia has are almost completely balanced out by the relative level of competition. And again, our model is almost entirely based on level of competition and sort of how you played against the opponents that you've played and how they did against everyone else to judge how good you are, and then take those together, look at the individual matchups. Neither Arkansas or Georgia is really expected to run the ball particularly well, about 3.5 to 4 yards per carry. Neither is expected to throw the ball well, about 6.5 to 7.5 yards per attempt. That comes out to about 5.2, 5.3 yards per play for both teams. Low scoring game. And essentially where our model, if I were to try to put my finger on it, where my model puts the difference is Arkansas in their game against Rice had their lowest yard per play total, about 5.7 yards per play, and they still scored 38 points. When Georgia played Clemson and they had about 4.5 yards per play, they only scored 10. And what our model looks at, if you look at Georgia's yardage versus points, and it's not, our model is not that straightforward, but you'll see that there's a pretty good little line between the two. And our model tries to find a trend in order to predict the score. And I'm guessing with Georgia, it sees the trend being, you know, the more yards you get, the more points. And if it goes below a certain point, you don't score. And with Arkansas, they've kind of put up points on everybody. So our model sort of will set a floor when it starts to see that. All that aside, I don't completely buy it. And it's every conversation that we've had up to this point. I don't think this matchup favors Arkansas well. One thing our model does not take into account is injuries. To be blunt, there's no way to do that. If you take into account injuries, you have to manipulate your model to do so, which means that you're altering its results. Our model is designed to be a neutral baseline. I haven't altered it. I kind of let it go, and it's essentially self-taught, so it spits out its own number, and I can decide whether or not I want to agree with it, but I don't want to manipulate it. And so in this case, I think it doesn't quite understand the matchups at play. The level of competition goes into that a little bit. I think the Rice score really throws off our perception of Arkansas. And I think this game does look a lot like the Arkansas-Georgia game from last year. Personally, I'm going to take this game 31-10. I think Georgia covers. And in fact, I would go so far as to say, in my world of, I don't bet, but in my world of betting spreads or picks, this to me is a trap game because this spread is too high from what most people would consider. And yet when I look at the matchups, I see a lot of things where Arkansas doesn't line up well. So I've got something that where most people are probably going to want to hammer Arkansas. I see a lot of reasons to doubt why you should take Arkansas. And just like we called out the LSU, and I picked UCLA to beat LSU, put it on Twitter on blast why I was doing that. I see a lot of the same stuff here. This is not the team Arkansas wants to play. I think Arkansas is a little beat up. I think, frankly think their scoring was a little bit inflated against A&M because they, you know, had a play where A&M like can't tackle. They had a big explosive early in the game, and that game could have easily flipped on its head, I think, with a few plays. Arkansas is a really good team. They definitely deserve to have a top 15 ranking. Georgia's that other level top three elite, and this is one of those games where people aren't going to necessarily realize how big that gap is, especially when there's bad matchups in play.
Yeah, my issue with it is I think that number is just, you know, you talked about how it was hard to look at the number in Alabama Ole Miss and make a prediction based on how you think that game was going to go and that Vegas was right on it. The issue for me and why I wouldn't gamble on this game is even if Vegas is right, we're so close to being on either side of that. So I've got Georgia 27, Arkansas 13. I think Arkansas's defense is legitimate, and I think that Georgia, the one thing that you didn't talk about in terms of your score and your picks and really what we haven't talked about much at all is that this Arkansas defense is legit. They're physical, and I don't know that Georgia's going to find more than 27 points in this game. This is all around our questions of whether or not JT Daniels is an elite championship level quarterback or just a good quarterback. The one thing I will say that I could see where Georgia finds these numbers and the points to cover is if Arkansas's offense does what it did against A&M and even when Jefferson before he got hurt, in that they have a lot of three and out and a lot of sputtering, which is very possible, and it just gives Georgia so many short fields, or they start pressing and they're throwing, you know, they're turning over, throwing the ball, throwing interceptions or fumbling, and it gets to the point where Georgia gets some easy scores. I could see them covering. I think Arkansas is just a little too good defensively to let Georgia put up a number. But I think Georgia's so good defensively that it's not going to matter. So 27-13 is the score that I've got. Josh, give me a parting shot, final thought on this game.
My final thought on this game is that it's going to be really interesting to see how both teams stack up, really. How does Georgia's offense work? I know JT Daniels is relatively healthy, maybe not completely 100%, but is relatively healthy. And how well does he play against this defense? Because one of the interesting things from last year, right, was that Daniels did come in the last few games of the year and played some defenses that were either not very good or totally reeling. Due to COVID departures, opt-outs, all kinds of stuff. And now I think we get to have a little bit of a better picture of how that opening game would go. Because I think Arkansas is a better version of what they were the beginning of last year when Georgia had a little bit of a struggle game. And now here's the honest question, right? Can JT Daniels play a sound defense that is good in all phases and be able to consistently move the ball accurately and create explosive plays against that level of defense that maybe, you know, somewhere between Clemson and Cincinnati and, you know, last year's Mississippi State with 50 players on the roster, right? And so I'll be really interested to watch this game just to see really where Arkansas is from a talent level and where Georgia is from a progression level on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, y'all, that's it for us on Arkansas and Georgia. Let us know in the comments what you think this game is going to look like and direct all of your hate mail about Josh's comments last week. Josh, I'm going to keep on you on this because it's a fun thing now at this point. Regarding Burks, you can let him know in the comments, and we'll be happy to read them and probably like them too. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.